have been referring to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you remember that first verse, Paul said this to Timothy, you must understand, he said, you must realize that in the last days there will be difficult times. That's how he starts chapter 3. You must realize that in the last days there will be perilous times. And so that's what we've been looking at for some time. And today we're only going to look at one verse in chapter 3. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're only going to look at one verse in chapter 3 and then a couple more in chapter 4. But before we do that, let me just make a statement and answer a question. Some of you have asked, as long as the Minnesota legislative system approved same-sex marriage, and that is legal now in Minnesota, and on August 1st that will become a reality, some of you have asked, will we be doing that here? And the answer is no, we will not. And that's not an answer in condemnation, that's just an answer in sticking with the Scripture. I have a statement here that I can read you, I won't, but if any of you want to read it, it's from our bishops. We have three bishops over the United States of America. And this statement is from our bishops, and it says plainly and clearly that the Free Methodist Church of the United States of America will not be performing same-sex unions in any of our churches. And so some of you have asked me that question lately because of the government and the decision made, but the answer is no, we will not be doing that here. Now let me just say this. This just breaks my heart to even have to talk about this. It just really, really does. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, the government is wrong. They were wrong when they killed the followers of Jesus. The Roman government did that for 300 years. And sometimes they're wrong today. Sometimes the religious elite are wrong too. They were wrong when they crucified the Savior. And today in the circles of the church and religion, when we are saying okay and approving and going along with what God calls sin, sometimes the religious elite are wrong too. And so I just want to make clear to you today, like I said, it just breaks my heart to even have to talk about this. But you have asked, some have asked, will we be doing this as of August 1st in this church? And the answer is no, we won't. We won't be doing that. We won't be going there. We're not going to go against the Word of God. We want to help people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Do not get me wrong. This is not an answer in condemnation. We want people to know Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? And when we know the Savior, when we know the Master, it's a new day and we're born again. And the Spirit comes into our very being. The letter to Corinthians says this over and over and over. Know you not that your body is a temple of the living God? The Holy Spirit comes into us and the Holy Spirit does a work that man cannot do. So we invite all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, regardless of who we used to be. But we're not going to cross the line and start welcoming and okaying known sin. We're not going to go there. And so, if you want to talk to me further about that, or if you want to read the statement from the bishops, I'll make you a copy of that. With that in mind, 2 Timothy 3:5. Here's what 2 Timothy 3:5 says. Most of you know we've been going through 2 Timothy chapter 3, and Paul says, Timothy, in the end times, there's going to be difficulties. And we've talked about that. You can read about that. If you haven't read 2 Timothy chapter 3, I would encourage you to read that today. But verse 5 says this, there will come a time, Timothy, when people will have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny its power. There's going to come a time, he said, when people will look like they know about God, like they follow God, but they don't know nothing about Him because they don't know the power of the resurrected Christ. There's going to come a time, he said, when people are looking all that in their religious circles, but they don't know the power of the Holy Spirit, They don't know the power of the resurrected Christ. And further, he says to Timothy in that same verse, from such people, turn away. Why does he say turn away? Because they'll pull you down, Timothy. The world at large says, yes, I know God. Matter of fact, I'm his follower, I'm his believer. But living like the world is going to pull you down, Timothy. And he says, from such, turn away. Now I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to emphasize two verses. I'm going to read the first four just for the setting. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Excuse me. Paul says to Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. Convince. He's talking to Timothy about preaching the word, the truth. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And now the verses I wanted to get to. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's saying there's going to come a time when they don't want to hear the truth. He said, for the time will come, Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Brothers and sisters, I want you to think about for a moment, are we turning our ears in society today away from the truth? It's not a trick question. It's an easy question. Do you see the signs of the times? Are we turning our ears away from the truth? I fear we are. Are we turning after fables to replace the truth? I fear we are. Have we gotten to this place we will no longer endure sound doctrine? I fear we've arrived. We don't want to hear the truth. The New Living says it so well. It says it like this. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow after their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That's exactly where we have arrived today in society. Give me, preacher, what I want to hear, not what I don't want to hear. And Paul says to Timothy, preach the truth. Preach the word, Timothy. Don't water it down. Don't push some of it aside as irrelevant because we're in a new century. Preach the truth, Timothy, he says. The New Living continues by saying they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if this speaks to you, but it breaks my heart to even have to talk about these things because we've arrived. We've arrived from the White House to the church house right here where Paul said we're going to arrive. We have a form of godliness in society. After all, nearly 80% of Christians say, Americans say we're Christians. We have a form of godliness, just like Paul said, but we're denying the power of the resurrected Christ. We're denying the Holy Spirit of God. We got this appearance as being Christian. And we don't know a thing about the power of the resurrected Jesus. We don't know a thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost. We've arrived at wanting our ears tickled. We gather up teachers and we gather up preachers and we gather up priests that tell us what we want to hear, not what the truth says. We've arrived. When Jesus preached, or prayed, I should say, in the garden in John 17, he said, Father, and he said many things, but one of what he said is, your word. He was talking about this. Your word is truth. And I want you to think for a moment, friends, this morning, what is truth to you? You know what? In society today, in way too many of our colleges, many who were founded on godly principles by godly people are now telling our children, truth is what you want it to be. You have to ask yourselves, brothers and sisters, is there an absolute truth? Because if you're going to subscribe to the notion, like way too many of our people are telling our young people, truth is what you want it to be. If you're going to subscribe to that, then we're going to find ourselves exactly like they did in Judges when it says, and they did what was right in their own eyes. We have to ask ourselves, is there truth today? We have to answer that question. What is truth to us today? Paul told Timothy, they're going to reject the truth. People, everyday people, people in the church, people outside the church, they're going to reject the truth. When you put these two verses together, they kind of go like this. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, they will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. That's the two verses in the two chapters put together. I don't know why I feel so emotional this morning, friends, but this breaks my heart. Because the church has arrived. This is exactly where we find ourselves today. And if it were only the world chasing hard after this, it would be one thing. But it is also in the church. We want to pick and choose which scriptures we like. We want to suggest that some parts of the Bible are out of date. We want to have our ears tickled from teachers that tell us whatever we want to hear, and sometimes it isn't the truth. We've arrived. We've arrived at this place, Paul said, Timothy, what happened? Now you could say, yeah, but Jim, we did that a long time ago. We maybe did. I don't know, but we have now. I know that. I, nor the next pastor, nor the next can force anybody to believe the truth. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, to convict us in everyday life, to encourage us, to call us home to Jesus. But I assure you today, friends, we still have a truth. We still have a truth in this. When Jesus said, thy word is truth. He was talking to God the Father about this. We still have a truth in this. We still have a truth in His Son. After all, Jesus said, I am the truth. We still have a truth in the Holy Spirit of God, which is called the Spirit of Truth. We still have some truth, brothers and sisters. Amen? We still have some truth. Even though it's a 21st century, and sometimes we find ourselves having a form of godliness and having itching ears that want to be tingled by something or somebody that maybe is kind of watering down the truth, we still have the truth. And it behooves us today, brothers and sisters, not to just have a form of godliness, but to know the power. But to know the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. The Spirit of the living God is the truth. It behooves us to know the truth. After all, eternity depends upon it. I can tell you all kinds of stories of all kind of folks in all kind of places I talk to. Yeah, but Jim, I know God. I believe in God. Yeah, but I ain't as bad as He is. I ain't as bad as she is. Friends, we can have that form of godliness, but if we don't know the truth of the power of Jesus Christ, it's just a form of godliness. It'll never do on Judgment Day. And so, if we happen to fall into that category of having a form of godliness but denying its power, may I encourage you today to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Way too often, in culture, in society today, we've got this form of godliness, and yet our life is filled with sexual immorality, or drunkenness, or lying to the boss, or stealing from the IRS, or whatever else it is. Anger. The Bible has all kind of things to say. And if these things are still leading us in our lives, brothers and sisters, we've got to shed off the form of godliness, and we've got to get right with the truth of the living God. Oh, I know, we say we know about God. But I'm asking us today, friends, do we really know God? Do we really know the Son? You know, there was a group of people in the New Testament called the Pharisees. They had a form of godliness. You still with me? The Pharisees had a form of godliness. Everybody looked at them as the religious people. Had it all going with God. And you know what Jesus called them? Snakes, vipers, hypocrites. Lots of churchgoers today, and lots of non-churchgoers as well, have a form of godliness but don't know the power. Why? Because of what Jesus said to that religious guy that came to him in John chapter 3. He said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again. Born of the Spirit, Nicodemus. Your religiosity is not going to do. Your form of godliness is not going to do. You have to be born of the Spirit." We've got to take that head knowledge, Nicodemus, from here and apply it here. There's a whole lot of godliness in that day too. A form of godliness. And Jesus condemned it and said, "You must be born again. You must be Nicodemus, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That's what he told him. And I fear we fall into the category that Jesus described to John in his seven letters to Revelation. I think it could have been one of the last two or three. He said this, "You have a reputation of being rich and all that, but you're poor, naked, miserable, and blind." Why? Because we have a form of godliness. We're denying its power. That's why. And so, friends, I just want to say today, to close, we can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And that form of godliness doesn't take on just a form, but it takes on a passion to be a follower of the living Christ. If you don't know Him in a personal way, I want to encourage you to repent and surrender to Him today. I want to ask you to think about two things to close, and then we're going to get ready for communion. Remember how Paul started this letter, or this chapter to Timothy? He said, in the end times, there'll be difficult circumstances. I want to ask you to think about these two questions. How close do you think we are to the end? I think we've arrived at every one of these scenarios. I told you when we started this series, I'm not predicting any date in which Jesus might return, although it may be today. He may rapture His church today. We don't know that. And the second question is, are you ready for the end? Are you ready for His return if it comes today? Because if he comes, we close our eyes in death and we haven't got right with Jesus, it's too late. And I want you to think, brothers and sisters, have I got a form of godliness or do I know the power? Do I know the power? There's a difference. There's a very, very large difference of having a form of godliness and knowing the author, the power, the Son of God. If we stand at judgment day and all we've ever had is a form of godliness, it's not going to do. If we stand at judgment day and all we've ever had is ears that want to hear what they want to hear and turn away from the truth, it's not going to do. And then it's going to be too late. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and listen to the Spirit's voice. In silence here this morning, just listen to the voice of the Spirit and see what He's saying to you.